And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And we're going to do so today by kind of going a little bit off topic, and we're going to explore what I consider more of an advanced topic. Now, I don't normally do advanced topics on this radio show. There's a couple reasons for it. Number one, we got a guy that's a part of our organization. His name is Del Walmsley. He's the founder and CEO of Lifestyles Unlimited. He founded the organization 35 years ago in Houston, Texas, with the purpose of teaching people like you and me how to change our retirement destinies, how to move away from what we were doing for retirement, which was probably ineffective. And in my case, it actually was ineffective, and move towards another way of looking at retirement and investing in a different type of asset class that we had not been investing in. That asset class is called real estate. And when you learn, number one, that you probably have a retirement problem and you absorb that, and you recognize that real estate really provides some very strong fundamentals that allow us to get to a place of retirement in 5 years or less, you start to understand that there's a different path you can go by. So you pursue that different path. Now, in order to pursue that path, there's one very important first step that you must accomplish. This is a do not pass go, go straight to jail if you don't do this one step. So what is this one step? The most important thing you must do after you recognize you have a retirement problem: educate yourself. Yeah, educate yourself. Get information about what you don't know, qualify that information, and make sure that the information has the ability to create the results you're trying to create. Now, one of the things about real estate, and you may believe this, one of the things about real estate is that there are people that think it's too risky, it takes too much time, it requires gobs and gobs of money that you probably don't have in order to be successful. And none of that stuff's true. None of it's true. I've done radio shows specifically identifying those three concerns, and I've blown holes in it. So what does this have to do with an advanced topic? Okay, let me get back to the story. One of the reasons that I don't normally do advanced topics is because we've got Del Walmsley, the founder and CEO of this company, who has more experience in real estate investing and changing people's lives than I do. Now, I've got experience doing that. I've been around Lifestyles Unlimited since 2017, but I wasn't around Lifestyles Unlimited back in 1990 when it got off the ground. And it has been changing lives ever since then. So normally, what I tend to do is I tend to focus on more of the tactical approach and maybe some of the operational approaches to real estate investing. I tend to stay away from the strategic level stuff specifically because, well, I think Del, I'll just give him credit. I think he does a better job of approaching those topics. And I think it's good when we stay in our lanes, when we focus on the things that we're really good at doing. And for me, it tends to be staying out of that strategic zone. However, there are always exceptions to everything. You know it to be true. You know it in your life. You know it at where you work. There's exceptions to everything. So this is going to be one of those shows where I'm going to make an exception. I'm actually going to talk about a topic that, number one, I don't have much experience with. Yeah, I don't have much experience with this topic. But what I do have experience doing is researching information and giving you information that I have at least qualified in my mind. And I present it to you because I think it's viable information. I think it's information you need to hear. So how did I even get to this conundrum where I'm considering doing a strategic level type of show as opposed to the normal stuff that I normally do? Here's why. The Lifestyles Unlimited community. Yeah, the 50,000 members of Lifestyles Unlimited, of which I know a lot of them. And I have become not only colleagues with many of them, I have become friends with many more of them. I really have. I mean, when you become a member of Lifestyles Unlimited, one of the things that's going to happen is you're going to make acquaintances, and then you're going to start talking to those acquaintances, and then you're going to start developing professional relationships with them. And then some of those professional relationships are going to spill over into what I consider friendships. So I had a friend talk to me at a recent case study event that we did at the Lifestyles Unlimited offices in San Antonio, Texas. She came up to me and she said, you know, I got a problem. And I think that maybe you might have the solution. And I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. Somebody thinks that I might be able to help them solve their problem. So when I hear something like that, I don't look at it as a challenge. I look at it as an opportunity to help somebody that I actually care about. So I said, well, what's the problem? Tell me what the problem is. And she went on to tell me that she and her husband are in their 70s. They don't have any kids. They're not sure what to do with their assets when and if they pass away. And we all know that we're all eventually going to pass away. And we all know that that tends to happen in the later years of life. We also know that we don't know how long we're going to live. Now, my friend and her spouse have made it into their 70s. So how do I help solve my friend's problem? Well, I'm a Lifestyles Unlimited member. I've got a brain. I've been trained how to think financially. My backgrounds are in business, even though I served in the military for 27 years. All of my degrees are business-related degrees. I have an undergraduate degree from the University of Southern California with a marketing emphasis, which is effectively the same as an MBA. It is the same curriculum as taught in the MBA world. So I effectively have an MBA as an undergraduate. And then later in life, in order to be competitive, to progress within the military and not be eliminated because I was trying to work on a 20-year pension, I went back to school and I earned a second business degree. I earned a degree from the University of Phoenix in organizational management. Part of the reason I didn't go get an MBA is because I already had the MBA side. What I really wanted was the managerial side that didn't necessarily come as a part of the MBA program. And since I was an officer in the military, I felt that an advanced degree in management would be beneficial to me. So I do have working knowledge of how financial things are supposed to work. In my spare time, I've owned businesses. I have operated nonprofits. I have done the business work of the world. I have made financial decisions that affect certain outcomes. I have made financial decisions that made a nonprofit very healthy. I made financial decisions that allowed the businesses that I invested in to do well. Even the businesses I ran with my wife, they did well. So when my friend came to me and asked me this question, I think she actually felt that amongst her pool of friends, maybe I was one of them that she ought to consult about this question. And the first thing I told her was, again, this topic is kind of above my pay grade, but I'm not afraid to tackle it. And here's why. If my friend has this problem, I wonder how many of my other friends have this problem that I don't even know about. I wonder how many members of Lifestyles Unlimited have this problem that I haven't even met yet. So I think this problem might be a specific trend that is going on amongst people that are advanced in years that are trying to figure out a transition plan for when they pass away. Now, let me recap the scenario for you. This is a married couple who are in their 70s. They have no heirs, no children, nobody in their family that they'd want to pass any assets on to. They live in the great state of Texas, and they're concerned about what they do with their assets when they pass away. So my friend initially consulted me on the question. The first thing I said was, wow, check with other sources. Don't make me the only guy that gives you information, but I will try and help give you a solution. But more importantly, check with people that may be in your situation that have resolved the situation and see what they did to resolve the situation. There may be already an existing game plan out there that you don't have to reinvent. You could just take that existing game plan and make it your own. There's nothing wrong with that. The other thing that I mentioned to her was that she should definitely check with her Lifestyles Unlimited mentors. And the reason she should check with the Lifestyles Unlimited mentors is that they are well more connected into the Lifestyles Unlimited community than even I am. They are on the cutting edge of advising our members on what works, what doesn't work, what makes sense, what doesn't make sense, and how to invest correctly in multifamily and single family assets. However, I still want to take a stab at this. I do, because, and here's why. There are people out there listening to my voice that are not yet members of Lifestyles Unlimited, I get that, who may be dealing with the same problem, that don't have access to a peer group that might already have a solution for them, and don't necessarily have access to dedicated mentors that are well connected within the community that might help them find those people and connect them that way. Does that make sense? All right. So what's the problem? Let's define the problem. Married couple in their 70s in Texas, no heirs. They own multifamily assets as limited partners in about, I'm going to say dozens of deals. And they likely own other assets such as cash, different types of investments, personal property, you know, the things that make up their estate. And one of the things that I mentioned to my friend before we parted was, wow, the first thing that comes to my mind is that we ought to have some kind of estate planning person involved. So that was my first recommendation before I said I was going to think about this and give her more information. I think having somebody with experience in estate planning, specifically an attorney that specializes in this type of area, is huge. Now, I happen to know within the Lifestyles Unlimited community as part of our vendor program that we have estate planning attorneys as a part of our vendor program. So my friend could just go to the vendor program and check out those attorneys. Or my friend could talk to other people that they know within Lifestyles Unlimited that have dealt with the same situation. And maybe those people could refer a good estate planning attorney to my friend. That would be another solution. But everybody's waiting for me to give you the answers. You're all wondering, what's this guy going to say? All right, when we come back from the break, I'm going to hit you with my research and what I've uncovered. Stick around.
Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show returns in a moment. Got questions? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
The Lifestyles Unlimited team of real estate investing mentors and educators want to meet you. Learn to retire in 5 years or less. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
Pre- creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the second half of the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And we're doing so by talking about what I consider to be an advanced topic, and it has to do with estate planning. Estate planning, and everybody should do it, requires a tailored approach to ensure your wishes are met, your tax implications are minimized, and your assets are distributed effectively. So what does all that mean? Well, let's break it down. Let's just get right into the specific estate laws, because when they pass, when one of them passes, the other one is probably going to be able to maintain all the assets. There's, you know, depending on how they hold the assets, if they hold them as, you know, joint tenancy with right of survivorship, then when one passes, the other one takes it over. But not all assets are held that way. So I would think that is something they need to discuss with somebody much more qualified than I am. The other thing I think they need to understand is that because they live in the state of Texas, Texas does not impose a state estate or inheritance tax. So they only need to consider federal estate taxes. Now, some of you live in states where your state will tax your estate. Now, I'm not going to pick on any specific states, and I almost threw a name out there, but I'm not going to do it. Those of you that live in those states, you need to do the research and find out what your state will do to your estate when you pass away, when both of you are gone. Now, I mentioned the federal estate taxes, right? And some of you are going, well, wait a minute, didn't they get rid of the federal estate taxes? Well, okay, let me give you the current version of the truth that's out there. In 2025, the federal exemption is approximately $13.6 million per person, or upwards of $27.2 million combined for the couple with portability. Assets above those thresholds can be taxed at a rate of up to 40%. So some of your assets are protected, but not all of your assets are protected. Now, are there ways that you can approach some of those assets above those thresholds? I don't know. I'm being brutally honest with you. I don't know because I have not asked the question. But I've given you the question to ask of your professional to get the answer you're looking for. Texas is a community property state, meaning most assets acquired during marriage are jointly owned. And upon one spouse's death, the surviving spouse typically inherits their half of the community property. Assets receive a stepped-up basis, reducing the capital gains taxes if sold. Now, I said a lot there, a lot that a tax advisor could help you understand. What if they have to go through probate? Well, Texas has a relatively straightforward probate process, but it can still be very costly and very public. A revocable living trust can help avoid probate for a faster, more private asset distribution. But again, I'm not an estate planning attorney. Don't take my advice for that. Seek out competent, capable, professional advice. I'm serious about that. What I'm trying to do right now is not solve my friend's problem, but help her with tools that she can use to solve her own problem. And trust me, when she solves her own problem, and I know this person pretty well, she actually has a very brilliant mind. Once she solves the problem, she's going to come back and tell me what the solution is. Now, will I come back and tell you what her solution is? I don't know. Probably not, though. And here's why I probably won't. Because her solution is going to be tailored to her specific needs. If I say her solution to you over the radio, everybody's going to think one size fits all, and that's not the truth. One size does not fit all. As a matter of fact, if one size fit all, that could be a problem. That could be a big problem. Now, for those of you that don't live in Texas, I know I'm talking about Texas, and the reason I'm talking about Texas, number one, I live in Texas. My friend lives in Texas. It's just the way it is. You have to ask your state how they deal with community property, or if they deal with it at all. You have to ask your state how they deal with probate. The answers might surprise you. What else should she be doing right now? I think she needs to take an inventory of all of her assets. Now, when she talked to me, we were talking about real estate specific assets. But the more research I did, the more I realized that all this estate planning stuff it covers a lot. It really does. So as limited partners in multifamily properties, their interests are likely illiquid and subject to partnership agreements. So what they need to do is they need to take a look at their partnership agreements and understand what their partnership agreements are telling them with regards to the fact that maybe they have died. Does the partnership allow for the transfer of your ownership interests to another party? Now, I can't speak on behalf of all of the different ownership agreements that exist out there in the Lifestyles Unlimited community, because there's a bunch of them, and not all of them are written exactly the same way. Different attorneys prepare the documents based on the needs of the person paying for the attorney's support and advice. So maybe they might tailor things to meet the needs of the investment group without violating the rules of the Lifestyles Unlimited community. I said a lot there, didn't I? Yeah, we have rules in Lifestyles Unlimited. All I'm saying is that they need to take a look at what their agreements say and understand it. And if they don't fully understand what the agreements say, get an attorney that does. Have an attorney review this stuff. Have an estate planning attorney review this stuff and have them give you feedback on what they find. What other assets should they be looking at? Well, they should be looking at liquid assets, things like bank accounts, stocks, bonds, retirement accounts if they've got them. Maybe they still have money in a 401k. Maybe they still have money in an IRA. I mean, it could be possible. I did not get into the depths of my friend's personal situation, but my friend knows her personal situation. They should also look at personal property like jewelry, art, vehicles, collectibles, and any other business interests they have, such as any partnerships or investments they have in non-real estate investments. And the big takeaway here is this. They need to ensure that all assets are documented and current values for tax and distribution purposes are identified. This is very important. They need to be working with real-time information. What else do they need to do? Well, I can't say it enough, but hire a qualified estate planning attorney. Hire a qualified CPA. I think those are the two most important people that can help you with this situation. Somebody that understands the law and how the law is going to treat your assets when you're no longer here to control those assets. So, does she have a will? I don't know. I don't know if she has a will. I don't know if she has a will. I don't know if her spouse has a will. So, both of them, they need to figure out if they have a will and if a will is the appropriate tool for them to utilize in death to transfer their assets to whomever or whatever they choose to transfer those assets to. Maybe another vehicle that could work better for them is something called a revocable living trust. I don't know. I don't know their specific situation. And I'm not licensed to give them advice on that specific situation. I'm not, and I don't pretend to be. But as somebody that likes to inform myself, these are the things that I'm coming up with that I think my friend ought to take into consideration. Along those lines, I think they need to look into whether they've got a durable power of attorney, if they have healthcare directives, and here's the other thing, if they have any beneficiary designations. Now, this is kind of big because remember I pointed out that my friend and her spouse do not have any heirs. They don't have any children, and they don't have any family that they intend to leave any of their assets to. Now, of course, I made the joke. I said, you know, in the state of Texas, you could adopt me. I'm only 9 or 10 years younger than you, but I think the state of Texas would allow you to adopt me and you could give me all of your assets. And of course, my friend laughed. She thought that was a funny joke. I didn't think it was a big joke, but okay, I guess it is a big joke. The point I'm trying to make is that unless they decide who or what gets their assets, who do you think gets their assets? I think the answer is the government, because where do the assets go? Where do the assets fall back to? If they can't be transferred to a living, breathing person or a legitimate organization, then I think the government takes it all back. I think they do. Again, I'm not the professional that advises people on this stuff. I'm just a guy thinking through the questions. So what else should they consider? Well, I think what they need to do is they need to take a look at their entire asset pool and figure out what they're willing to give back to the government. If you're willing to give everything to the government, then doing nothing might be a viable course of action, or negating what you've already done, which might give the assets to something other than the government, needs to go away if you're going to give it to the government. But let's think about it. Can your interests in assets be gifted, donated, or sold? The short answer is yes, they can be. As a matter of fact, if you gift the assets to charities, they may offer some additional tax benefits. But again, sales could trigger capital gains taxes, which could be mitigated by the stepped-up basis upon death. I just blew your heads, didn't I? Yes, I did, because you have no idea what I just said. What I'm telling you is that the government changes your capital gain structure when an asset is transferred to another entity upon death, provided it's a what I would consider a qualified transfer. I don't even know if that's a real thing, but I think it is. Again, I'm not the professional, right? I think the one thing my friend needs to look at is I think they need to take a look at charitable giving. I do. I think with no heirs, charities become a more meaningful legacy. They can just flat out donate the assets to charities along the lines of whether they use a will, they use a revocable trust. However they do it, those vehicles can be used to transfer those assets to charities. That's how they're going to do it. So there's something called a charitable remainder trust. And what it does is it provides income to the couple and others during their lifetimes, with the remainder going to charity, which reduces estate taxes. There's also something else called a charitable lead trust, which pays income to charities for a period, with remaining assets to non-charitable beneficiaries, such as friends. What I'm getting at is there are a lot of potential solutions that I am uncovering that I don't feel qualified to tell my friend about, but I do feel qualified enough to share the fact that there is information out there about how to do this that should cause my friend to seek more competent advice. Now, what about non-charitable beneficiaries? Can you transfer your assets to non-charitable beneficiaries? And what is a non-charitable beneficiary? Well, things like your friends or your community members. You could designate close friends, caregivers, or others as beneficiaries for specific assets. You could even support local Texas organizations, universities, or community projects through your generous giving. So there are other opportunities for you to do with your assets what you intend to do with your assets without giving the assets to the government. Yeah, it's just something I just don't think you ought to do. Here's another thing that my research came up with, and it's a little morbid, but I think we should talk about it. You should plan for incapacity. You should appoint a trusted individual or a professional like an attorney as power of attorney and healthcare proxy. You also ought to consider a revocable living trust, which can ensure seamless management of assets if both of you become incapacitated. And here's the other thing. I mean, this is the thing I'm always kind of thinking about in the back of my mind. And the reason I'm always thinking about this in the back of my mind is because of my financial mindset. But it's all about minimizing taxes. I am all for paying my fair share of taxes, but I don't want to overpay my taxes. So I think they need to consider minimizing their taxes. Now, we know on the federal estate tax, they can utilize the $13.6 million per person exemption, and charitable donations can reduce taxable estate value. So you could give away the stuff in excess of the like $27.2 million and not have it be a problem for your estate. The other thing that's out there is that stepped up basis. In other words, when they own the asset, they're depreciating down the asset. There are tax advantages for doing such a thing. But when that asset transfers to the new owning entity, it transfers at a stepped up basis, meaning any tax liability that my friend and her spouse had upon death goes away. The government doesn't chase down dead people to get the tax money out of them. They just don't. I guess they found it to be ineffective. And here's another thing that I think they ought to consider doing. Giving gift assets during the remainder of their lifetime. If they want to support charities or friends or whomever or whatever, they can gift up to $18,000 per person annually without incurring gift taxes. Yeah, it's been the gift tax limit has been raised to $18,000. So they could be like Robin Hood and just start giving the money away, right? And ultimately, I think whatever path that they choose, whatever professionals they choose to consult, once they develop their plan, They need to not only stick with the plan, but they need to review the plan. They need to take a look at the estate plan every, say, 3 to 5 years, or maybe even sooner, or after changes in assets, health, or tax laws. And they need to continually reassess their partnership agreements and beneficiary designations as needed. Now, at the end of the day, my friend has created an outstanding problem for herself and her beautiful husband. And she did it by doing the things that we teach you to do at Lifestyles Unlimited. If you want to do what I'm doing, you want to do what the 50,000 members of Lifestyles Unlimited are doing, go to lifestylesunlimited.com. When you get there, look at the top of the webpage. At the top of the webpage, it says, start here. Click on that. It's going to give you an opportunity to join an upcoming free workshop. Join that workshop, and let's get you going.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.